When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League Game Week 35. It's team selection time as Mark, aka the FPL General, reveals his non-free hit sides. He's just free-hitted and he's not wildcarding. It's just a normal week for Game Week 35. So Mark, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, Joe. Yeah, in the middle of a free hit game week, halfway through, it's going well so far. And it's always just funny when you go back on FPL after the deadline and you get your old team back and you think, oh, I don't remember having you. Yeah. I wish I still had some of my nice shiny new toys on my free hit squad. So interesting transfer decisions ahead.
Yeah, definitely. In contrast to when I free hitted in game week 29, I was quite glad when my game week 30 team appeared and I didn't have to look at those Motley Crue again, although some of them might be coming back soon, but more of that a bit later. I've got to introduce myself. My name is Joe. And also a reminder, do press that like button and also do remember to subscribe so you can be up to date with our latest videos and podcasts. Okay, let's have a look, see how you're doing so far this week. A lot of people on Twitter are already claiming victory for the game week 34 free hit, and I think they're probably quite justified if they went for Palace players. Do you want to tell us what you got, who your stars were, and sort of who you've got left? You've got 11 players left, I think.
Yeah, 11 to go again, which is good, including captain Salah, who hopefully will actually turn up. All the Liverpool guys need to turn up in the second game. So ended up on three triple ups, triple Liverpool, triple Arsenal, triple Palace. Jordan Pickford went in by process of elimination. I didn't really want to own him, because, again, just conceded 6 goals to Chelsea. Don't rate Everton massively defensively. But because I was going for the outfield triple-ups, I thought he was next best and thankfully got the 8-pointer against Forest. The only other non-Liverpool-Arsenal-Palace guy was Solanke up front. He was always going to stay. Nice to see him get the penalty. So Liverpool guys all blanked. Virgil, Captain Salah and Darwin Nunez, two of them on the bench. But hopefully that bodes well for the Merseyside derby. Triple Arsenal, win for Gabriel. As always is the case, probably should have just played the sensible approach and went double defence like everyone else. Havertz had a few decent chances, so hopefully again midweek he can get a few returns. Saka blank, that's fine. High ownership anyway. Munoz did nothing, but popped up in some very good positions. Thought he actually scored when Emerson got the own goal. Eze and Mateta were the heroes. Mateta in particular, glad I went 3-4-3 and managed to fit him in up front. And everyone played, so the bench won't come in to play. Neto, Sarabia, Senesi, Kilman. Probably a good thing because none of them are doing anything just yet.
Yeah, so I mean, the big difference between me as a non-free hitter, and I've looked at some teams, so your free hit is very typical of a lot of free hits. It's around the sort of late 50s, early 60s. A few bit higher, a bit lower. And around about where I am, non-free hitting, we're all sort of around the 40, 45 mark. And the big difference is we probably didn't go for a Mateta. We probably didn't go for a Pickford. And it was those kinds of players. They're a bit different. I managed to claw a little bit back. Anderson was my Palace defender of choice. I had actually recommended on a lot of videos last week, Mitchell, who ended up scoring an own goal. So apologies for that. And as you say, Munoz is always looks on the verge. But yeah, so it's Liverpool guys, really. Salah being benched, Darwin. So we want them to start, really. Free hitters and non-free hitters alike. I think more non-free hitters will have Darwin. Because you kept Darwin for your free hit. But I think a lot of free hitters would have just thought, oh, I've had enough of him, and I'll go for like Diaz, for example, or Alexander-Arnold or Robertson.
Darwin was, again, as he often is, the last decision. I was kind of 50-50 on Luis Diaz-Darwin. So far, I'm okay on that one, despite Diaz starting and Darwin not starting. So I'm kind of hoping as a free hit manager that Darwin starts this next one and maybe Luis Diaz gets reduced minutes. I was close to even just sacking both of them off and maybe going for an Alisson. So thankfully the Pickford shout worked out, and you know, it's a bonus whatever he gets now against Liverpool. I said last week that I had double Chelsea defence last week against Everton, and I said I never sweated so much over a clean sheet. But I take that back now, because the Pickford clean sheet was the most sweating I've ever done, because I wasn't watching the game and I was tracking it on the live score, and it looked like, I think it was 9 minutes added on, and it got to 99 and I was just waiting for the final whistle. And then I realised there must have been a Beto injury. And at one point, I think I was looking at my phone, it was 90 plus 16. So it was an excruciatingly painful wait for the clean sheet, but thankfully he got over the line.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been, could have had a whole multitude of penalties in that game, which he may have saved, he may have conceded. So yeah, that was, yeah, Pickford could have got anything in that game. He could have got a couple of penalty saves. He could have conceded three.
I got the highlights this morning, and I would say that is the most fortunate clean sheet that I've ever got. I thought three Ashley Young decisions were probably three penalties. So who knows? Could have been a 2-pointer. Could have been a 25-pointer if he saved them all.
Definitely. And also the other big difference this week between free hitters and non-free hitters is a lot of us non-free hitters will have played probably one at least of a Manchester United player, a Man City player, or a Chelsea player, and particularly Palmer. I know Palmer faces Arsenal, but nevertheless. So for me, because I've got Haaland to go, he might not make it, but I've got Palmer first sub. So one of them will play, I think. And I think that will be common. So if they blank, then that really is like utter victory to the free hitters on 34. But yeah, those are probably the players that will be a bit of a difference, I think, this week. And Manchester United as well, Fernandes. Garnacho as well could do well.
Yeah, there's still a few threats to come to us free hitters, especially those single game makers with the good fixtures. The City guys, as you mentioned, you know, I expect Garnacho to start now after his apology, and Bruno, of course. And Palmer's the big one. You know, I've only got single Arsenal defence, so even if Palmer did do well, you know, it might actually not be terrible for me. I really need Havertz to deliver, because I kind of went for Havertz over a second Arsenal defender or a goalkeeper.
Definitely. Okay, let's have a look at the season ticker. Because we're just getting shorter and shorter. And I've sorted this by season difficulty. And I'll just quickly run through this, and then you can sort of gather your thoughts about what moves you're going to be making coming up. So Chelsea are top of this. That's because they have two double game weeks. Game week 35, they've got Villa and Tottenham. Tottenham's at home. 36, pretty good fixture, West Ham at home. And then 37 is a good double, actually. Nottingham Forest and Brighton away. Good for their attackers, I would say. And then they finished the season on Bournemouth. So Palmer's going to get a lot of captaincy shouts there. Newcastle next, got Sheffield United at home, 35. Once again, there will be a point of difference currently in game week 34, because not a lot of free hitters would have kept Newcastle players when they face Palace. But anyway, they've got Sheffield United. Then they've got 36 away to Burnley. Good fixture. 37 home to Brighton. This is great for their attackers. Manchester United away. And then they finish the season away at Brentford. Tottenham are strong. Tough fixtures, but they've got lots of them. Arsenal against Chelsea against in game week 35. Game week 36 got Liverpool away. I mean, Liverpool can concede. Burnley and Man City at home in 37. They have a good track record against Man City at home. And Sheffield United to end the season. Son will be popular. Man City as well, they've got that double in 37. Fulham and Tottenham away. They've got Nottingham Forest in 35. Wolves at home, 36. West Ham at home, 38. These are great fixtures. And Manchester United, another one I'm going to mention. They have a double. Arsenal and Chelsea in 37. Great fixtures before and around it as well. Burnley at home, Crystal Palace away, and then Brighton away in 38. And Brighton's the last team I'm going to mention, because they also have a double. Newcastle and Chelsea in 37 could be okay for their attackers. Bournemouth and Aston Villa before that. And in game week 38, they finished the season at home to Manchester United. Meanwhile, Wolves, West Ham, Bournemouth, and Liverpool and Villa are amongst those with the worst fixtures. Liverpool do finish the season with Wolves, but they do have West Ham away, I think that's a good fixture. But then they've got Tottenham at home and then Aston Villa away from 36 and 37. So, yeah, looking at all of that, really, for you as a non-wildcarder, where are you sort of aiming your transfers? Because we'll look at your bus team a bit later, but what's your sort of general gist team-wise?
I think before I even speak about teams, the big factor for me is the bench boost is still available. And obviously I need to play that without wildcarding beforehand. So I've got a couple of issues I need to solve. I've got Kelleher as a non-playing goalkeeper, and I've got an injured Jamal Lascelles. So before I fix those two problems, I need to free up some funds because I've only got a few pennies in the bank. So I don't want to have tunnel vision only for the bench boost. I want to make sure my transfers are you know, for good players in 35, 36 beforehand and with 38 in mind as well. But I do need to be conscious that if I want to play a decent bench boost, I definitely want a Dublin goalkeeper and I want to improve the Lascelles position. Long term, I've been planning to turn Lascelles into Maguire, maybe around game week 35 or 36. Again, probably won't be able to do it in 35 because of budget, but maybe 36 or 37 itself. So that's something I need to keep in mind. But in terms of teams, Chelsea top of the ticker, I'm already tripled up with the goalkeeper, Gusto and Cole Palmer. So that will probably just stay as it is. Newcastle, I've got Isak, happy to own him. Great fixture this week. I would like to get Gordon. I was very close to getting him for Foden a few weeks ago. And the Gordon option is always on the table, especially now looking into Sheffield United and Burnley and then the double game week. It's just a case of you need to lose a good player to get Gordon in, which makes it quite tricky to do so. So, you know, an injury to somebody would help that for me. And obviously that would free up funds as well. Tottenham's interesting because I've got Poro and Heung-Min Son. So I need to wait and see what the Poro situation is in terms of an injury. We'll talk about them soon in terms of options. Do I triple up on Tottenham this week or do I just leave it as two? And then elsewhere, usual suspects, you know, want to get probably more City guys for 37.
Okay, so you don't have Saka in your team at the moment, but you do have Salah. And Salah's obviously benched. He's not performing to what a 13.6 million player should be. Yeah, he is on penalties. He is Salah and he does play for Liverpool. But with the quite low down on the season ticker in terms of priorities to transfer in. Me as a wildcarder, I have one Arsenal and Liverpool player in my whole team. And out of 15 players, just the one. And that's Gabriel. And I think that'd be quite common. I don't think I'm going to see many Salahs in wildcard teams. So he's going to be a point of difference for you. But he could also be a massive source of money. Because I found without Salah, even with having Haaland, you know, the bench boost is not a problem. In fact, this week, I've got a bench, one of Fernandes at home to Burnley or Haaland. They're genuinely the worst players I've got in game week 35 because I'm wildcarding. And that's not even a flex. that's just the way it is when you're wildcarding, and it's a really tough choice. But what the whole point of that is, you don't need Salah.
Yeah, and you know what? It's Monday morning, and I'm just starting to think ahead for the first time after the free hits. Mm. And it's not something I really thought I'd be doing is losing Salah. But when you look at it, I think it makes a lot of sense. Mm. You know, it would allow me to fix my Kelleher and Lascelles issues, get me prepared for the bench boost. And when you look at the fixture ticker there, you know, there's some teams out there that have, you know, six fixtures, some have five, and Liverpool and Salah just have the four. And yeah, are there players out there that can match Salah, mm-hmm, even outscore him for much cheaper? And I think the answer is absolutely yes. Now, it might be a different story if Salah goes and rips it up midweek, then it might be a harder decision. But then on the flip side, if Salah disappoints again, I think it's probably going to be pretty easy.
Yeah.
And when you, like you say, a lot of wildcarders probably won't go for Salah. They'll focus on the double game week. So maybe he's not as scary for the rest of the season. So maybe that's the obvious place to go. And again, who comes to mind? Anthony Gordon. Look at the fixtures. Yeah. I don't want to get to game week 38 and still be saying I regret losing him in game week 20. I regret not getting him game week 30. I should have got him maybe for Foden a couple of weeks back. So maybe this is the time. Maybe Gordon is my route to improving picks elsewhere for the bench boost.
I mean, me as a wildcard and many other wildcard drafts I've seen so far, Gordon's there. Gordon's playing. He's at home to Sheffield United. He's not. I'd prefer to play him than Bruno Fernandes or even Haaland. That's how strongly I like Gordon at home against a promoted side.
And when, again, coming back to Salah out, Gordon in, when I look at my other midfielders, Heung-min Son has two double game weeks. Mm-hmm. Chelsea also, Cole Palmer, so I don't want to sell either of those. Phil Foden I'd like to have for the rest of the season. And Garnacho's great for the bench boost as well. So it does, all arrows are pointing towards Salah as a cash cow. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I agree. I think Salah to Gordon, that's going to free up so much money. And you can just spend 36 and 37 just building that bench, you know, bench boost. And you'll have so much money to burn there. But a Spurs option, you do have a Spurs place. So you're tripled up on Chelsea. You've got Porro and Son. So there is a Spurs player you could get in. So I've got a table of some Spurs players. This might give you some ideas. So this is the last six matches stats of Tottenham players. So the best ones for double game week 35 and beyond. I've sorted this by minutes per expected goal involvement non-penalty. And that's often not the actual best guide there. So I've got a whole bunch of other things in. Basically, the best ones. How many have they scored? How many have they assisted? How many FPL points have they got? Are they under, overperforming? And how much chances they've created? Werner is top. He is a forward in this game. It's minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty, every 97 minutes. Pretty much a goal involvement a game is expected to be involved in. He's underperformed by at least two goal involvements, created seven chances and scored and got a couple of assists. Brennan Johnson, 5.8. If you want to free up some money, you can free up about 8 million by getting Johnson in for Salah. Two goals, two assists, four attacking returns. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty, 103. 0.5 minutes. He's been underperforming as well and created nine chances. So I'll just stop there. Are you interested in an attack forward like Werner? But would you be... Brennan Johnson looks like a potential good option to get in.
Yeah, this is this kind of goes nicely with what we were just saying about Mohamed Salah. Mm. Looking at it, I think a big factor of play here that we haven't covered yet is Erling Haaland's fitness. So if we get towards the end of this week and let's say Haaland doesn't play midweek and he's a doubt for the weekend, then automatically I think Erling Haaland would become my cash cow instead of Mohamed Salah. Okay. And then that would open the door maybe for a Timo Werner, because I just double-checked. He is a forward in FPL. Shows you how much I spend looking at him that I had to go and check that. But again, going back to my midfield, I'm very happy with it. I don't mind keeping Salah. And if I do sell Salah, I think I still prefer Gordon, even with a single fixture this week for the long term, rather than a Brennan Johnson or a Kulusevski or a Madison or these guys. So I did not expect to be saying that today, but maybe Timo Werner is the Tottenham third Tottenham attacker that's the most likely to come into my team, dependent on Erling Haaland fitness, because I'm certainly not interested in their defence anymore. I've got Porro. I don't want another one. He might not even be fit anyway. So yeah, Timo Werner's maybe an outside differential for me.
Yeah, I mean, the only issue with selling Haaland, getting Werner in for Haaland is, yeah, that could potentially be good game at 35 if Haaland's not fit still. And we'll know that by Thursday. We'll know more because he's meant to be playing Brighton then. We'll also get team training pictures, I imagine. But Man City do have a home game in 36 against Wolves. The indications are it's not a serious problem with Haaland. And then game week 37, away to Fulham and Tottenham, I would imagine Haaland's going to be the most captained. So you can probably want him back. So I don't know whether he would be a cash cow because he's a play going to potentially... I don't know. How are you fixed with Haaland in 37? Are you resigned to not having him?
Yeah, that's a good point. He's not. He can't really be a cash cow because I'm going to want him back. Mm. So again, that goes back to... Yeah, points back to Salah, doesn't it? Salah makes the most sense. Even if there was doubts over Erling Haaland for game week 35, I could just keep him because I've got Garnacho benched at the moment with a very good fixture. Yeah. So he's always a good option. Yeah. And again, I need transfers for Kelleher and Lascelles. So to sell Haaland to get him back in, doesn't make much sense in my current situation. So hopefully the injury's not too bad and I can just hold on to him, I guess.
Okay, next name on the list is Son, who's already in your team. He's already in a number of teams, wildcarding or not. He will be captained as well because of his name, I guess. But stats-wise, even he has got 5 attacking returns in his last 6. But minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 153 minutes. Created 11 chances. I just think in terms of the money there, this says to me that Palmer, we all know about, Palmer's probably the best captain. But presumably Palmer's the player you would captain in double game week 35 over Son.
Yeah, because I think two very simple reasons. I think the fixtures are better for Chelsea and Cole Palmer, I think, is a better FPL asset. I think he's arguably the best FPL asset in the game, which is crazy to say about a player that only cost about 6 million, but he's incredible. And, you know, we've seen it against Everton. It's not just Everton. He's been superb since he started his first game back in game week 7, and his points are absolutely insane. So, yeah, as soon as the game reopened, I placed the armband on Cole Palmer, and I don't expect that to move before the deadline.
All right, so next name is Maddison. He could be a player you get in. Ordinarily, you know, way back in whenever it was, when he was fit in game week 7 or something, I would have earmarked, double game week for Spurs. Oh, Maddison will be my third player, my third Spurs player. But I don't know about now. Last 6 matches, he has created 11 chances, has been underperforming by at least 1 goal involvement. His minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 216 minutes, so sort of half a Werner or Johnson. He started all his last 6, so he's either starts or you know, he's not a sub. He just either starts or doesn't play because he's injured. But he's only got 18 FPL points and just 1 goal. So Maddison's just completely off the table. He could be the surprise package. He could turn in form, but I haven't seen any indication of that yet.
Yeah, it's an odd one with Maddison because we know his FPL pedigree. It is usually very reliable and usually passes the eye test, but he hasn't been for me recently. I had him for a short spell, maybe only for a game week or two, and I very quickly shipped him out again for a more attractive midfielder. He just, watching the Tottenham games, I feel like he just hasn't looked himself. I don't know, maybe is he not back to full fitness or something. Something just isn't clicking just at the moment for Maddison. And when we've got so many other FPL options out there, then I don't think I'm going to go there. I still do think he's not too far away from the top 3 Tottenham picks for a double game week because we know what he can do. But I feel like you're getting them in hope rather than expectation. And I don't tend not to do that FPL-wise.
No. Next name, Ben Davis. He's actually on this list, but I haven't put all of them. So I haven't put, like, say, Saar on this list, for example, and players that I don't think people would go for. But Davis, they might. He's 4.3. And the reason he's there is because a doggy has been ruled himself out for the rest of the season. So that could mean some starts for Ben Davis. He has scored in his last 6 matches. Obviously, only 17 FPL points because he's either a sub or doesn't play at all. But he has started 5 of his last 6 matches, but that's going back a bit. Been marginally underperforming, created 3 chances. I've just put him there just because, whether wildcarding or not, if you need a double game week player who's probably going to play both, 4.3, I think it's pretty okay. I mean, I'm not expecting a clean sheet, but you might get an attacking return from a very low owned differential.
Yeah, I think it was worth chucking him in just to make people aware of the Udogi situation. And maybe there is an opportunity now for a Ben Davis. But I just feel like when Van de Ven's only 4.4 and he's guaranteed to play, you know, there's a lot of coulds and probablys in there. I just think at this stage of the season, I think Van de Ven's probably safer.
Yeah, it's just a zero attacking threat. I know he has scored. He can score. He's capable of it. But I just think that Davis might be a little bit better.
Yeah,
but
I think with Van de Ven as well, there's probably zero clean sheet.
Yeah.
Potential as well with the fixtures. So it's probably, the answer is probably neither.
Yeah. Porro is probably the only defender I'm considering. He is injured at the moment. The rumours are that he's getting ready for the Arsenal game for game week 35. So he should be fit for this, but we should get training pictures. It's not like Arteta at Arsenal where they sort of hide players that are a bit iffy to play from the training photographer. But yeah, he's 5.8. He has scored in his last six matches, and he created six chances. I think while Maddison's a little bit off the boil, Porro's probably the most creative there. I think he's a good option. He's already in your team, but just sort of highlight that. Minutes for expected goal involvement, non-penalties, absolute pants, 600 minutes. But I think he's probably the best option if you're going to go for a defender at all.
Yeah, for me, I think he's the only one for Tottenham because he does give you that attacking potential, especially now that Udogie's gone for the season. He had, you know, some attacking threat as well and a much friendlier price tag. So yeah, he's already in the team. It was nice to get his goal recently, and I'm hoping and praying every night that Mr. Porro comes back, because like I said, my transfers are pretty precious for the rest of the season in terms of bench boost and stuff, so I could do without having to sell a Pedro Porro. So yeah, fingers crossed. It kind of fell nicely, the injury, because I had the free hit and then bought me a bit of time, and hopefully now by the time we get to give me 35, he's back. Even if he's only back for one of the games, I'll be happy enough. It's more, I just want him for the rest of the season more than short term.
Yeah, definitely. And also for game week 37, when Tottenham play twice, one of their matches is against Burnley at home, and it's probably their only chance of a clean sheet. I guess Sheffield United away, 38 maybe, but it's an away game, and Sheffield United's last Premier League game for a while. They're going to be up for that. I'm not sure Burnley, maybe. I mean, I think that's probably that'll be it clean sheet-wise for Porro, I would imagine.
Yeah, like I said, it's you're certainly not buying Tottenham defender for clean sheets. No. I think we've established that a long time ago.
Okay, I've got another table here. This is for strikers, because you have Haaland. You also have, I presume, Solanke as well. And others might have Watkins, for example. But so I've got the best forwards for the last six matches, sorted by minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty. I've highlighted in blue those that are doubling. They have a double game week at some point coming up. But I've also included those who haven't, just to show what you're up against. So, for example, if you kept Ollie Watkins all this time through all the doubles that Villa haven't had, and keep him from now until 38, chances are Ollie Watkins as a forward will score more than most of those double game week forward options. So we'll start at the top, though, with Isak. He's been in your team. When you wildcarded, you got him in. He is certainly in my wildcard team for this week. Seven goals and assists, eight attacking returns. He's been marginally overperforming by 1.7 goal involvements. Created seven chances as well, hence getting the assist. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty, 110 minutes. He's the one to get. You know, he's great fixtures, Sheffield United at home. You've been enjoying his points last few weeks. You know, he just should be in most teams, I think.
Yeah, I think whether you're using free transfers these next few weeks or whether you're wildcarding 35, he's probably one of the first names because he's got the points, he's got the form, he's got the fixtures, he's got the double game week, he ticks every box, and just a really good player. Penalties, you know, he's just an easy pick. So if you don't have him, he should be probably a priority to try and bring in.
Next name is Haaland. We've already spoken about him, but just highlights that even if he is injured for 35, you're probably going to want him in 37 if he's back. Fulham and Tottenham away. He has scored three goals, two assists, minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 113 minutes. Still very strong. He's been underperforming, as owners will know, by at least two goal involvements, at least two goals there. You would think it'd be more, but yeah, he was expected to score more. But yeah, I think we've sort of covered that. If Haaland did go, you'd certainly want him back. Next name, though, is Mateta. You've been enjoying him on the free hit, 16 points so far. Looking at Crystal Palace's fixtures, Fulham away, 35. Manchester United at home, 36. Wolves away, 37. Aston Villa at home, 38. Tough finish. But next three fixtures are actually quite good. I wouldn't be surprised if Mateta outscored some of these other players.
Yeah, it's that whole thing. He's tempting me now as performing very well on the free hit squad. He's putting his hand up saying, why don't you just come and buy me for the rest of the season? And he's certainly in the thoughts. You know, he's very cheap. And I just think he's stepped up a couple of levels, not just one level in recent weeks, I think. And I'm really impressed with Palace so far in such a short space of time under the new manager. And we've seen it again. Yeah. Absolutely destroyed West Ham. You know, Eze, Olise, Mateta. I think they're all very attractive for the rest of the season. They're like just playing with a bit of freedom, you know, not much to play for. But I think that actually plays into their hands because they're such, you know, silky footballers, especially Elise and Eze, and put themselves in the shop window probably as well, more than anything else, because I think they could all make a step up. So yeah, Mateta, again, if there is long-term issues for Haaland, if we find that out before the deadline, yeah, Mateta's right up there. I know he doesn't have a double game week, but you know, like Watkins, I think he can match them or even outscore them.
Yeah. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 118 minutes. Next name on the list is a big drop-off. It's minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 167 minutes. So quite a big gap there. And it's Jackson at Chelsea. He has got 5 attacking returns. He's been expected goal involvement delta is pretty much on par. So he's been doing what he should be doing. Yeah, 3 goals, 2 assists, created 9 chances as well. Obviously not on penalties, as he found out the hard way. But Jackson, yeah. Now, he is a big decision for me as a wildcarder. He could be for non-wildcarders if you weren't already trebled up on Chelsea. I think he is a big point of difference. With Aston Villa away, Tottenham at home, there's potential for attack and returns there. But yeah, it all depends. If he gets a booking when he plays Arsenal in game week 34, his only game in game week 34, then he misses the whole of game week 35. So the decision's out of our hands. But let's say he doesn't get a booking. Are you, yeah, what's this? Yeah, because it's difficult for you to get Jackson, but just other people in your similar position, whether wildcarding or not, you know, would you get Jackson in?
Yeah, I think, like Mateta, I think Jackson has been much better in recent weeks. And if I wasn't already tripled up, I think I'd definitely be considering him. Again, coming back to Haaland, if there was any issues there, or if I decided that it was time for Solanke to go, then, you know, you look at the fixtures, the double game weeks are there. You don't gain from owning Cole Palmer because everyone has him. So, you know, another piece of the Chelsea attack, I think Jackson is next best. And yeah, I like him. I think I'd be very tempted. Like you said, they've got to be very careful with that yellow card situation. So, but certainly, I think he's right up there for the rest of the season.
If he does get his yellow card and he's out of game week 35, then I'm not interested in him. And the next name is actually the player I would probably get in, and that's Pedro at Brighton. He's only 5.2. He has scored in his last 6 matches. His minutes per expected goal involvement is 796 minutes. He is on penalties, though, and he's been underperforming by at least 1 goal involvement, created 9 chances. He's playing more out on the wing at the moment, not centrally. Welbeck tends to be there. But nevertheless, he's getting starts because basically Brighton have got pretty much a whole first team's worth of players on the treatment table. So they have got to play Pedro. So I think he'll play. Also, for... he's a handy player I can actually bench in game week 35 if I did get him in. But yeah, Pedro, I think game week 37, Newcastle away, Chelsea at home. I think there's potential there.
I was just having a look there while you were speaking. It's funny how FPL comes full circle. I went back to my game week 1 team. João Pedro was there.
Yeah.
Game week 3, I sold João Pedro for Nicholas Jackson. Yeah. And here we are, game week 35, talked about these guys again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brighton are interesting because they do have the double. I've got Van Hecke sitting ready for my bench boost. Yeah. Hopefully he plays and does something for me. Pedro's in the conversation as well, but I don't know if he'll ever be in the top 3 forwards or top 2 forwards if in a 3-5-2 formation because, again, only a couple of games left. We know how much De Zerbi rotates. You know, maybe I'm disrespecting Brighton here, but not a huge amount to play for, I don't think, towards the end of the season. So... yeah, there's enough reasons there for me to go elsewhere. Again, if you're chasing differential, absolutely fine. We know he's good. We know he's got penalties. But I think some of the other names we mentioned are better.
Yeah. One of the things that sways me as a wild carder is I can bench him in 35, I can bench him in 36, I can play him in 37 as part of a bench boost on penalties. So you never know. And because of wild carding, it's the midfield 5 is so strong. You know, who do you bench? Do you bench, you know, Bruno Fernandes, Anthony Gordon, Foden, Son? You know, these are not benchy players, but you're going to have to. So that's sort of swaying me. But yes, I think Jackson would be ideal. But yeah, Pedro's an option. Another striker who's an option is Hoyland at Manchester United. He has scored 3 in his last 6 matches. I think you have to go back a bit, though, for that. Manchester United are not performing as Manchester United fans would hope. Especially the I don't know if you saw the with the well you would have seen the Coventry game. Anthony was sort of cupping his hands at his ears, like to the Coventry fans, when he did pretty much nothing himself when Fernandez's penalty went in, I think. So, yeah, they're not the nation's favourite team at the moment.
No, and they're certainly not they're not even their fans' favourite team of all the time these days, the stress they put us through. But again, FPL-wise, fixtures, Burnley next is great. Mm. Crystal Palace, not so good at the moment. But then it's the double. But the double isn't easy either. Arsenal and Newcastle, and then finishing with Brighton away, which is not a fun place to go on the final day either. So I don't love the fixtures. I've got Garnacho. I might get Maguire reluctantly for Lascelles. Am I going to triple up? I think it's very unlikely. Again, like Joe Pedro, I think when it comes to Hoyland, there's better alternatives.
If you were wildcarding and you were to get any Manchester United players in, which ones would you get and how many?
I don't think it would be three. I still really like Garnacho. I know there's slight concerns over the early substitution and stuff in the last league game, but I think that will be brushed under the carpet, and he'll be an important player for this for the rest of the season. But I definitely do see the attraction with Bruno Fernandes, because you get the minutes, you get the penalties. Yeah, Bruno and Garnacho probably the only ones I'd be considering. And again, if you've got a bench boost, maybe a cheap Maguire or an Onana possibly in goal, but it's hard to make a strong case for any Manchester United player, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Onana and Dallo, one of those I'll probably get, and Fernandes, I agree. One of the things that's worth mentioning with Fernandes over Garnacho, in Game Week 38, they played Brighton. The FA Cup is scheduled before Game Week 38, is that right?
I don't even know. I didn't expect to get there, so...
I can't. I think it's after the last game in 37... and before the 38. So I just feel that Garnacho could be benched. Fernandes is just never benched. Even famously last season, we saw that picture of him with his leg in a brace, and he literally then played 3 days later. So he would really, you know, even if his legs are quite badly damaged, he'd still play somehow, in a wheelchair maybe. I think he would play. So, yeah, that's the other thing that Fernandes... But, yeah, Garnacho is... I mean, obviously, he's been in my team for a long time as well, and absolutely brilliant first sub. And sometimes he does come on and gets us those points.
Had a quick look, Joe. I think the FA Cup is the week after the season finishes, so just have a look at that afterwards. Okay. Double check.
Okay. Rightio. Okay, then. So that could mean the Game 38 team is a little different for Manchester United. Same could apply to City as well. Watkins is next. We've spoken about him, and I'm going to put Solanke, the next name, in there as well. Good players, good strikers, potential to outperform everyone. Aston Villa have Chelsea, Brighton, Liverpool, Crystal Palace, and Bournemouth have Brighton, Arsenal, Brentford, and Chelsea to play. I wouldn't be upset if I had to keep one of these.
Yeah, and I think if, you know, fixture-wise for, Watkins, Chelsea and Liverpool in there. I mean, Chelsea, I keep saying Chelsea, but I shouldn't really be including them in the same sentence as Liverpool. But the fixtures for both players, I don't think they're terrible. Mm-hmm. I'm probably just going to stick with Solanke because I need to make transfers elsewhere. Brighton is a good fixture for an attacker. Yeah. I like having him against Arsenal because I've only got one Arsenal defensive asset, so I'm probably hoping he wipes out the clean sheet there. And then Brentford and Chelsea is fine. I just think with Watkins and Solanke, whichever ones you have, if you still have them, you can just ride it out for the rest of the season because they're just great strikers, having great seasons, you know, playing for pretty decent teams. You know, Aston Villa, a really good team this season. So, yeah, do you think either will be on your wildcard or will you go elsewhere?
No, they won't at all. As I said, the midfield five is so strong. I'm looking at Isak and Haaland, and it's going to be one of Jackson and Pedro. And if Jackson is obviously available, doesn't get booked, Haaland, Isak and Jackson, all great fixtures. and Jackson is playing twice. There's just no room for Solanke at all. And even if I did, I mean, whoever I got in, if I didn't get Jackson, I would just bench anyway in the game week 35. So, you know, there's, yeah, I think that's going to be the same for a lot of wildcarders as well. I think some might get Watkins, maybe, but I can't see there being any space for them.
Yeah, looking at, again, just thinking about what you just said, I think, you know, 80, 90% of managers on wildcard probably won't have either this week. No.
Yeah, so this is going to be good for you as a non-wildcarder because he's a good player against Brighton.
That's the hope.
Can't keep a clean sheet.
Hopefully Solanke continues to do the business.
Okay, let's move on to your bus team. So you sort of hinted about some of the moves you're considering, and we've had some stats up to help you. But yeah, I've got your team up on the screen here. Do you want to go through it especially? You know, after our discussion, you know, what you're considering doing at this stage for 35.
Yeah, it was good to get the juices flowing there on a few ideas. So the team at the moment, Petrovic and Gusto with a double game week, Pedro hopefully with a double game week, Gabriel away to Tottenham, Cole Palmer captain with a double, Salah, Foden and Heung-Min Son, who also has two games, and up front Haaland, Isak and Solanke. On the bench, Kelleher, Garnacho for sub, Van Hekke and Lascelles. So I think, all things considered, going back to probably the most important factor, that I need to fix Lascelles and Kelleher over the next few weeks. So I think saving a transfer is the obvious move here. Keep Salah for West Ham. I could do the Salah to Gordon move this week and free up the cash with Gordon having such a good fixture against Sheffield United. So I will consider that. But I think what's most likely, if nothing else goes wrong, if we get good news on Porro and Erling Haaland, then I think a sensible approach is to bank the transfer, two frees, and then fix a few problems, 36 and 37 for the bench boost.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's probably quite sensible, isn't it? With the bench boost in mind, and whoever you sell to get your sort of money there, so Van Hek, would Van Hek stay for your bench boost? I mean, he does play twice.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the reason he was picked on the Game Week 30 wildcard was, you know, hopefully he's available for 37 for the two games, just as a cheap option. So, yeah, no plans to lose him. So Lascelles needs to go, Kelleher needs to go, and then it's, you know, free up cash from somewhere.
Okay, so who's in mind for, let's go for Kelleher first. So you've got Petrovic, great, got double game week in 37. So who would be your ideal Kelleher replacement?
The problem is I don't think there is an ideal one, and I haven't looked into it too much just yet, but it's probably going to be, it might have to be Onana, just for budget reasons. I've got triple Chelsea already. Don't really want the Brighton goalkeeper headache. Going to be quite hard to afford Ederson, but maybe I could try and make that work. Newcastle goalkeeper situation will be up in the air by the time we get to 37, and then I don't really want Vicario. Yeah, you know, against Man City in one of the games. So it's not, there's no great second goalkeeper for 37. There's arguably no great goalkeeper. You put Petrovic into that as well. So that's a future marked problem to solve.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me as a wildcard, I've got Ederson at the moment, I think, in that role. And yeah, it's a lot of money for a team that aren't keeping clean sheets. Let's turn to the sales though. So you want to beef up Lascelles for your bench boost. Who's in mind there?
Yeah, Harry Maguire's always been in mind, just because it's not a big step from Lascelles to Harry Maguire, but, you know, Arsenal and Newcastle, probably no clean sheet. You're, you know, hoping for an attacking return from Maguire, and his fitness has been a bit dodgy this season as well, which is another factor. So I think when it comes to it, I probably will try and get Ederson or a Man City defender. And, you know, hopefully by 37, there might be a standout City defender. I do like Vardiol. I've liked him a lot even before he started scoring his goals in recent times. I'm just looking elsewhere. It's few and far between, isn't it, for a bench boost in 37? It's, the fixtures don't help us. And, you know, a lot of us are tripled up on certain teams already. So, yeah, I think it's when in doubt, maybe just get a Man City defensive asset, whether it be a goalkeeper or defender, is probably what I'll end up doing.
Yeah, Guardiola was the one I would have liked, but Ake's back now. It just adds another name into the mix. Guardiola, I can see not playing, starting both. And so it becomes a single game week player
I think Ederson's probably the answer here.
Yeah, Edison, and then Maguire for sales. I think that would work really well.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, it's been great to chat to you. As a wild card, it's been very useful for me to know what I'm up against, and I feel I'm up against quite good teams. If your team is typical of whatever team that's already wild carded, I think you're already quite set up for the weeks to come. Which is useful. Lots of games to go in 34. We've got lots more videos. We've got the Scoutcast tonight, in which we switch more to wild cards. Rich is wild carding. I'll be myself and Tom are wild carding tomorrow. So we'll have our team selection. We'll have goals imminent as well. Burning questions, deadline dilemmas, Sam and Az with their live Q&A. Team news, of course. Scout the game week, lots and lots and lots of other things. I think me and Mark, I'll do a wild card guide as well video. Just trying to remember all the videos doing. And I think me and other Mark Joblin will do sort of best three picks sort of to round it up towards the end of the week. So yeah, lots of videos and podcasts coming over the week to help you whether you're wild carding or not this week. Mark, good luck with the game week. Take care. See you soon.
Cheers all.